Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Rob Williams throws it down over the top. Up the elevator to the time board.
Inside Williams again gets two.
But I thought he'd get a lot more assists. And oh, as Time Lord just throws down another big time dunk. There's a one-hand bounce pass, and Time Lord just catches. Man, he can float in the air.
Every day that goes by, it's getting a little bit better. I'm glad we're not playing a game, you know, this Sunday. I'm glad we have time to prepare. You know, it's been a good week or so being in here.
In hindsight, I think as far as a public safety issue goes, I probably could have made a better quality decision.
If you want to make a run in the playoffs, you got to beat every team.
They were cutting with a purpose, and that makes a difference. They were dynamic. Robert Williams was rolling with a purpose.
Or you got to be stronger on pucks down low. I thought we threw a few away a number of times.
And then I think when you talk about Cam, you got to look at, you know, the things he can do, the designed runs. And I don't think you have to do a lot of them, but I think if you do just enough and sprinkle it in, you give the defense something they have to prepare for.
All right, it's Brian Barrett with you until midnight. All right, so I want to get to this about Cam Newton. So you've seen the quote from the Boston Herald, Kyle Love, former Patriot, former Carolina Panther. So he played with Cam Newton in Carolina, and of course he was a member of the Patriots. Andrew Callahan talked to him. And this is what Kyle Love had to say about Cam Newton and Bill Belichick, whether or not they would mesh. He said, "This is just my opinion, but I don't feel like Cam can take the pressure of coaches talking down about his play. If he had a bad game in Carolina, the coaching staff wouldn't say much to him because they felt he could be a little frail about it, or maybe he'd pout. They never really corrected the point like Bill used to correct Tom." So then today, Chris Sims weighed in on the situation.
Can he handle the everyday, you know, rigors of the NFL with the New England Patriots? And that is, yes, nobody being a cheerleader for you, and you make a 20-yard out throw and they just go, you know, good throw, Cam. It's not like, all right, way to go. Oh, hey, whoa, did you see that throw, everybody? It's not going to be none of that. You know, when you mess up, it's going to be pointed out in front of the whole team, and there's going to be some constructive criticism that goes with that. I don't think he's going to cuss out Cam Newton like he did Brady quite yet. He's probably going to get to know the guy, but between that and just the attention to detail and the humbleness and do your job and on to the next play, that is my question. Can Cam Newton handle that day after day after day? Because like you said, it kind of melted Chad Johnson, Albert Haynesworth.
All right, so he's wrong about the Chad Johnson part, by the way. The reason Chad Johnson didn't succeed here is he couldn't pick up the playbook. But anyway, getting back to his original point, he's backing up what Kyle Love said, where he said, "I'm not so sure that Cam Newton's going to work with Bill Belichick because of the way that Belichick coaches." And in Carolina, he was not criticized. He was coddled. And maybe part of the reason, Kyle Love says, is he was too frail and he felt like Cam was not going to receive the criticism well. But when I see a former teammate saying this, I believe there is cause for concern when it comes to Cam Newton, if you hear a former player saying that. And if Kyle Love is saying this, there probably were other guys within the organization that felt very similar to the way that Kyle Love felt. So we've seen this before with different teams in terms of the quarterbacks, right? In Seattle, there was this huge article a couple of years ago by Seth Wickersham, who, of course, wrote that Patriots article as well. But he pointed out the defensive guys felt that the coaching staff pampered Russell Wilson and didn't give the defense enough credit. Remember in that story, it was detailed how the defensive guys were pissed that after Russell Wilson threw four picks against the Packers in the NFC title game and the defense shut down Aaron Rodgers, all Pete Carroll did after the game was praise Russell Wilson and his ability to fight through adversity. And the defense held Aaron Rodgers, who at that time was the best quarterback in the NFL, to 178 yards, and they picked him off twice, and their quarterback threw four picks, and all the coach was talking about after the game was the quarterback. So would it be a shocker to anybody if Cam Newton was completely coddled there in Carolina, if Russell Wilson was in Seattle? He was everything to that organization. He made the team relevant. In 2015, there was no bigger star in the NFL than Cam Newton. He put the Panthers on the damn map. I know they made it to a Super Bowl with Jake DeLone, but they weren't really relevant until Cam Newton got there. So maybe Kyle Love is onto something. He went from New England, where Tom Brady is told the quarterback at Foxborough High could make that throw. This is after a win, right? That's what Belichick used to say to Tom Brady. And then he's sitting in a meeting room, and he's seeing Cam Newton play horrible, and the Panthers coaching staff isn't calling Cam Newton out after they lose a game. So there's a big difference there. But here's the issue in some organizations where the ownership isn't strong and the front office isn't strong. The quarterback can control everything. So Ron Rivera may have been afraid that he's got to cater to the quarterback or else the quarterback's going to kneecap him and get him fired, kind of like what we see in the NBA with superstars. Maybe that's what Ron Rivera was afraid of. So any Patriot fan that read this quote and just didn't think anything of it, you're kidding yourself or herself. It's something that you have to point out that, okay, let's at least acknowledge that Kyle Love played for the Patriots. He knows how Belichick handles things. He played with Cam Newton for a number of years, and this wasn't anything malicious. He was just pointing out the fact that Cam Newton was coached totally differently than what he was accustomed to when he was a member of the Patriots. Even if you think Cam's going to make the necessary adjustments and be open to the coaching of Bill Belichick, you can't just sit here and say, oh, I'm not concerned whatsoever. There's nothing to worry about. This is a guy that's coming into a totally different world. In Carolina, he was the savior. And he was the biggest sports star in that town. No disrespect to our new friend Kemba Walker, but Cam could do no wrong in Carolina. And now he comes here, and he's going to be subjected to the coach calling him out in front of the entire team. With Tom, he had that going on his whole career. So I get the last few years between Tom and Bill were rocky, but most of the time here, it went pretty damn well. And Tom was willing to have Bill chew him out for most of his time here because he didn't know any other way. This is how he'd been coached his whole career. So this is going to be a massive culture shock to Cam Newton. Going from basically sitting in a chair, people fanning him while he's eating fruit like he's a king, to now, that was 9 years, to now this is a major adjustment. And I'm sure that Bill had these conversations with Cam. And Bill mentioned last week on the Zoom call that they had multiple meetings with Cam. So I have to imagine Cam said all the right things. I want to be coached hard, etc. But the first time he's called out, it's going to be an eye-opening experience to Cam Newton. It's one thing to say you're cool with it, but then it's a totally different thing when this guy is being yelled at and embarrassed in front of the team by Bill Belichick. So my whole issue is just the fact that you had people poo-pooing this Kyle Love comment like it's no big deal, and that Kyle Love was out of line for making this comment. Ryan Clark, by the way, today on First Take, he said, listen, I think the bigger problem I have with this is talking about what another man can handle. Just because you haven't seen Cam coached hard, it doesn't mean he cannot handle that. It doesn't mean that he cannot be humbled. By the way, we have Ryan Clark talking about this earlier.
We don't have the privilege to say how people cannot adjust to being coached or how people will or will not like being coached. So that's the first thing I think that kind of rubs me wrong there. Like, we don't know. You allow people to treat you in certain ways depending on your situation.
He makes it out to be like Kyle Love is this horrible person for the comment he made. He's making an observation. What's wrong with that? This is somebody, Kyle Love, who played with Cam Newton. And by the way, in the article, he says he wants Cam to succeed. He said he's just pointing out the fact that it's two different worlds. You come here to the Patriots. Bill Belichick's going to coach you hard. He's going to call you out in front of the entire team. And when he was in Carolina with Cam, who, oh, by the way, he goes out of his way to say he hopes it works out. He loves Cam Newton. He wasn't trying to take shots at Cam Newton. He was just making an observation from his time with Cam Newton and with the Patriots. He played for the Patriots and he played with Cam Newton. All he was saying is that he doesn't know how the two mesh and that Cam's never been coached this way. He said he hopes it works out, but it may not work out based on the way that Cam was pampered with the Carolina Panthers. So for
Ryan Clark to say that it was disrespectful. You shouldn't say what another man can handle or not. He was asked a question by a media entity. He answered it. There was nothing wrong with what Kyle Love did whatsoever. It was a fair observation. If you were handled one way for 9 years, where you were basically everything in the organization, you were making all the money, right? Over $100 million in the contract. You were in all these commercials, and now in comes a coach that's going to chew you out in front of everybody. I don't understand why that's out of line for him to question whether or not it's going to work. This is called having an opinion on a situation. So it just, to me, I understand why people just want to say, ah, yeah, no big deal. Well, yeah, everybody fits in when they come in to play for Bill. Well, this is totally different. This is the quarterback. This is the quarterback of the team. This isn't Darrelle Revis getting kicked out of a practice because he's late or kicked out of the film session, whatever it was. This is a guy that has been pampered. This is a guy that has been considered to be the greatest player in the Panthers organization, although now they'll tell you he's not even one of the top three. But Cam Newton was the guy there. He was the alpha and the omega. So when we just look at this and we say, oh, yeah, there's no big deal, we shouldn't take what Kyle Love's saying seriously, like Ryan Clark saying, oh, it's disrespectful, give me a break. Now, with all that said, here's where I stand. I believe that the first time Cam hears it from Bill, it's going to be difficult because Kyle Love points out it didn't happen to him in Carolina. But I believe the player will be able to adjust, because he doesn't really have a choice. Cam told us in that YouTube roundtable, as he went through the entire schedule, he said, this team passed to me, that team passed to me, etc. Basically, he was pointing out that he wants to get revenge on those teams. He also said on his Instagram, you chose this over that, referring to Teddy Bridgewater. So he wants to prove everybody wrong. And the player has to know that playing for this coach and this offensive coordinator in Josh McDaniels helps him do that. Secondly, for what Cam wants, and remember, this is a transactional relationship. The Pats are trying to stay contenders. They're trying to shortcut it, right? Because they don't believe Stidham is 100% there right now, and they think that Cam Newton's a better player right now. But they want to try to stay competitive and try to get back to another Super Bowl, try to get to an AFC championship game. And Cam wants another contract. So Cam's using the Patriots for more money in the future, and the Patriots are using Cam to stay relevant right now. But if he wants a new deal, it has to work out here. Because if it doesn't work out here with this team, he's never getting another big contract with another team. This is his opportunity to prove himself again. That's why, in my mind, this would have been a much bigger issue in terms of Cam Newton, his fitting in with the Patriots. It would have been a much bigger issue if the Patriots had, say, gone out this offseason, and I know they didn't have the financial room to be able to do this, but if they gave Cam Newton like a $100 million contract, and I know they wouldn't do it coming off the injury, I'm just saying for the sake of the argument, if he was coming off this outstanding season in Carolina, for whatever reason Carolina wanted to move on, right, just say that was the hypothetical, then you would say, okay, he's used to one thing, you gave him the contract, well, that may be an ugly situation if he gets upset with the way the coach is handling him. But in this case, he really can't, because this is his option, or this is opportunity, rather, would be the better way to put it, to get that new big contract. So I don't believe it's going to be an issue. But to just push it to the side and say it's no big deal, well, this is something Kyle Love gives us an interesting perspective. When a guy's been pampered for 9 years and been everything to that organization and been the biggest celebrity in that state for a number of years, and then he comes here, he's playing on a league minimum contract for a guy that is in some ways a drill sergeant as a head coach, that is something to be aware of. That is something to actually look at right now and say, oh, I could see how that could be an issue. Now, I believe it's going to work out in the long run, but for Ryan Clark to say today that you shouldn't say what another man can handle, well, he's making an observation. He played for both teams. He's more qualified to answer this question than, quite frankly, like most other people in the world. I guess you could ask Chris Hogan as well, because he's played for both teams. And he's played for a team with Cam Newton and played for the Patriots with Bill Belichick. I guess he would be there as well. Kyle Love's another guy. There's not a lot of them that have played for both organizations, played for Cam or with Cam in Carolina and for Bill. So I thought that his perspective was interesting and certainly something that at least raised my concern level slightly. Now, I believe it's going to work out fine. I'm not trying to tell Patriots fans to panic, but it's worth bringing up if you're Kyle Love. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Mike in North Providence, wants to weigh in on the Celtics. What's up, Mike?
Hi, Brian. Yeah, with regards to the Celts, Langford and Williams impressed me the other day. And honestly, Williams, when he's been healthy, has made major strides this season. And pretty much every chance that Langford's been given to play minutes, meaningful game minutes, he's been good. And the team's played very well. And his net rating is enormous. Like, he's a good piece out on the court with them. And especially for a rookie to have that kind of impact, you know, on the score, at least as far as, like, the game score, that matters a lot. Because, you know, he just seems to have a pretty high basketball IQ and know where to be in a way that most rookies don't.
Well, Mike, here's my thing with both these guys. Now, we're heading into a postseason when right now, basically, Brad Stevens has basically shown us that the only guy he trusts coming off the bench for extended minutes is Marcus Smart. Because Cantor, we know there's going to be certain matchups that he doesn't fit in well with. And quite frankly, I'm not the biggest Wanamaker guy, but he has to play some minutes at the backup point. But these last four games, we're basically now after the Miami loss, you're going to be the 3 seed. There's no way you're catching Toronto in that 2 seed. Why don't you give these guys, Robert Williams and Romeo Langford, more opportunities to see if they can be part of the rotation in the postseason? Because quite frankly, right now, your bench is a mess. So let's see if you can get more out of these guys.
See, for me, I think that the fatal flaw of the Celts is the simple fact that their best 5 players are all smalls.
Yeah.
And a well-constructed team. I mean, I like Kemba. He's really good. But honestly, it's like, why couldn't have, you know, Al Horford, who first showed up here, have showed up here this season? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. If you had that guy, you know, kind of stepping into that max deal with this, with the rest of the guys on the team, like with, you know, Marcus and Jalen and Jason and Gordon, with, like, you know, Al Horford in his first year on the Celtics, I mean, they'd have a real chance of winning the NBA championship.
Yeah, or Mike, like, to your point, like, so all four of these guys, when you're talking about Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, and, of course, Kemba, they're all better when the ball is in their hands. So if just one of those guys was a spot-up shooter, like, and I'm not saying this guy in particular, but if it was a J.J. Redick, somebody along those lines where their skill set mesh better, it just seems like it's kind of redundant. It feels like you have one too many of those type of players.
Well, you need to have somebody who's the big. Somebody needs to be the center.
That's true.
That's the real point here, is that if you look at well-constructed teams, like look at the Warriors team that won championships, the quote-unquote Hamptons 5 lineup, where Draymond's playing the 5, right? And you got Durant at the 4, you got Iguodala at the 3, and you got Curry and Thompson in the backcourt. Mm-hmm. I mean, there you go. Perfect. Your 5 highest paid players can play as a 5-man unit to close the game. Our 5 best and highest paid players can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, I love Kemba, right? But honestly, we needed a big. And he's great to have here with no one else to be able to get, but Danny's going to have to make a move down the road. And like what I love about Langford is he's showing that on a team with a lot of scoring, he doesn't need to score to have value. And honestly, we have enough guys that put the ball in the hoop. We just need to have people who can play with them, and at least we have him.
Yeah, it's a fair point. And Mike, I appreciate the phone call. Think about Robert Williams as well. Is he brings something to the team that none of your other bigs can. He can put pressure on the rim. It's such an important thing to have when you can do that high pick and roll and just have that guy run to the rim and you can throw it up to him. He brings an athletic element that Cantor certainly can't. And of course, Daniel Tice, the starting center, can't bring that either. Let's get to John in a car who wants to weigh in on Cam Newton. What's up, John?
Hey, what's going on? So first of all, just listening to this stuff, Chris Sims, I guess if there is somebody to know, like, how soft people can work with Bill Belichick, like, he is the guy to know because he failed here. So, like, Chris knows exactly, like, what not to do. So I guess that's where his expertise comes in. The Kyle Love thing is, like, it is, I don't understand it. Like, I do get in a quandary because Kyle Love, like, number one, like, kind of like Conor McGregor, like, who are you? Like, and do you really think your football experience is going to be the same as Cam Newton?
Yeah, but
like,
John, hold on. John, hold on. Hey, let me rebuttal that a sec, John. Think about it this way, though. So Kyle Love played for the Patriots, and he saw how Belichick coached Tom Brady. He also played for the Carolina Panthers with Cam Newton, and he saw the way that Cam Newton, in his mind, was coddled and Ron Rivera wouldn't call out Cam Newton in front of the team. And Kyle loves mine. He never saw that happen. So can't you at least acknowledge that that would be a little bit jarring for Cam Newton the first time Belichick's coaching him totally differently than what he was coached or how he was coached in Carolina for 9 years? It's totally different.
No, because it's a completely, I'm sorry, it's a completely useless argument to make. That's the biggest strongman argument. If you think that Bill Belichick is going to coach Cam Newton the same way that he coached Tom Brady, you're absolutely out of your mind. The greatest coaches and the greatest teachers will absolutely tell you that they can't coach someone the same way they coach somebody else. If you think that you're going to be able to use the same tactics for a different player, that's absolutely asinine, and you're never going to be able to be successful at all. Belichick absolutely knows that he has to teach. He has to teach and coach and treat Cam Newton a completely different way.
Well, John, to a certain John, to a certain extent, and I get everything schematically is going to be totally different, but John, he's not going to pamper Cam Newton like Cam Newton was pampered in Carolina.
No, you're saying pampered. I'm not saying pampered. I'm saying he has to coach him differently. And if you think, and that's where the straw man argument comes in of this Kyle, I don't know who this guy is, Kyle Love.
Yeah, he played for the Patriots.
Do you think that he's going to, like, right, that's right, but it's such a straw man argument. Like, I saw him coach Tom Brady this way, so that means he's going to coach Cam this way, and because I saw Cam get treated this way, this is what it's going to happen. Like, no, you're putting a lot of assumptions in that that's what it's going to be. Bill Belichick is arguably one of the greatest coaches of all time. I don't think that he's going to go in with blinders and say, this is how I'm going to coach Cam Newton come hell or high water. Like, that's just not a smart way to think. If you think that way, like you're just looking for stupid arguments.
Yeah, John, hey, I appreciate the phone call, man. I understand what you're saying, but here's the reality of it. Belichick's not going to completely change his coaching style for one player in Cam Newton. He's not going to change the way he coaches the player. He's going to be incredibly demanding on Cam Newton. And if Cam Newton sucks and it shows up on film, he's going to call him out in front of the team. Kyle Love's point was that he felt like in Carolina, Ron Rivera wouldn't do that because he felt like maybe they believed that Cam Newton couldn't handle it. Maybe Cam Newton comes here and we realize, oh, he's good when he gets coached hard. But the reality of the situation, this is a totally different dynamic for Cam Newton. It's something he's never been accustomed to in his NFL career. And it's not like everybody walks into the Patriots organization and works getting coached that way. That's not how it's worked. Look at Adelius Thomas. He was a problem. If Cam Newton thinks that he's going to be coached the way he was in Carolina, which I can't imagine he does, and I'm telling you, I think it's going to work. But just to say there's going to be no issues whatsoever, there's no possibility that Cam could have a tough time handling Belichick to begin his tenure, he said it himself in that YouTube video. He said it himself. He said, how are me and Belichick going to work? So he himself even questioned it at the beginning. All right, 617-779-7937 is the number. Another thought on the Patriots, and in particular Cam Newton, who will speak to the media for the first time since becoming a Patriot tomorrow. We'll get into that. Plus, something that I'd be concerned about if I was Tom Brady in Tampa. We'll do all that plus a trending in just a second here.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We're right back to what you want to hear. More of Brian Barrett on EEI.
Man, I got a call and my agent hit me. I was, you know, no cap. I was working out. And he was like, hey, man, you know, we just got an interest from a team. I'm like, okay, cool. Who? And he was like, New England. I said, hold up. Like, how is me and Belichick going to mesh? You know what I'm saying?
All right, that's the voice of Cam Newton. Now, that was from that YouTube roundtable a couple of weeks ago with Odell Beckham Jr. And I had Dylan was producing replay that because of the comments that Kyle Love made to the Boston Herald. Andrew Callahan had the article where he said, this is just my opinion, but I don't feel like Cam can take the pressure of coaches talking down about his play. If he had a bad game in Carolina, the coaching staff wouldn't say much to him because they felt he could be a little frail about it or maybe pout. They never really corrected the point like Bill used to correct Tom. So maybe in his position group rooms when he's talking with Norv Turner, the offensive coordinator, maybe Turner yelled at Cam Newton. But Kyle Love brings up a fair point. Cam Newton's never been coached the way that he's going to be coached here in New England. And when you have 9 years of being the savior for an organization, the number one pick, and then you come into this situation where you're on a minimum contract and coming into camp, even though I don't think it's a quarterback competition, the Patriots have labeled it that way, and they have both guys listed as the number one quarterback right now. It's a totally different atmosphere for Cam Newton. So I don't understand why this wouldn't be a fair question when Cam Newton himself said in that YouTube roundtable, his first question was, how are me and Belichick going to mesh? How are me and Belichick going to mesh? That's the first question that Cam Newton had. Now, ultimately, I believe the two parties will work things out because Cam needs the Patriots more than the Patriots need him. That's the reality of it. If Cam Newton doesn't work out here, Bill can cut him and say, all right, let's see what Stidham can do. And if Stidham doesn't perform at a high level, okay, 2021, we draft our future quarterback. Or if Aaron Rodgers becomes available, maybe we get into that, which would be incredibly interesting for the Patriots down the road as this situation in Green Bay is not working out. But the point being, they can move on from Cam Newton real easily, and it wouldn't affect them long term. With Cam Newton, he needs the Patriots so he can prove that he has that value to get that contract that he ultimately wants, where he wants to get another big-time contract on the open market. So the player needs the Patriots. Why? That's why I believe since Cam Newton's in a desperate situation, all these teams passing him, he's in such a desperate situation that he's going to be willing and open to everything because clearly he needs to reestablish his value. And you came to the place with the best coach in the sport and a very good offensive coordinator in Josh McDaniels. So I believe it's going to work. But this isn't a layup that Cam Newton, who has basically been held up on a pedestal in Carolina, like, oh, Cam, let's do this, let's do that for you. And now he comes here, it's going to be jarring. It's going to be a culture shock for Cam Newton. No matter, or it doesn't matter what those conversations between him and Belichick were like, where Bill tells him, hey, I'm going to coach you real hard. It's one thing for Bill to say that, but it's a totally different thing when Cam actually gets coached hard. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Ryan in Connecticut. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
So I just want to bring up a point. So I think Kyle Love's perspective is very valid because
I agree.
When you think about it, there's one player that came from Carolina to the Patriots that flopped and didn't even make it out of the preseason was Coney Ealy.
Yeah.
You know, he was supposed to be some great player, and then he came over and he didn't even make it through a single game.
well, he might have played a couple games, but he didn't make it through a season, if I recall.
Yeah, it's a good point, Ryan, and they gave up a draft pick for him.
Yeah, I mean, you never know what you're going to get with Cam, but I think, like you said, he needs the Patriots more than the Patriots really need him.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Hey, I appreciate the phone call, Ryan. It's an interesting point about Coney Ealy. I didn't think about that. 617-779-7937, the number, if you want to hop on board and grab his line. That's an interesting point to bring up. Ealy, who the Patriots gave up draft capital for, he came over here, and he couldn't fit in with the Patriots. We've seen it before. Guys have come here and not been able to fit in. Adalius Thomas was an issue here. Now, Chad Ochocinco is different because he couldn't pick up the playbook, but all I'm pointing out is Kyle Love is fair to question whether or not Cam Newton is going to work in this atmosphere with this coach, because that's not the situation he was in Carolina. And this is a cross-sport comparison. But I point out this. Think about Carmelo Anthony in the NBA. When he got to Oklahoma City, his role was changing, right? So at first, he was supposed to be part of a big three with Russell Westbrook and with Paul George at the time. And he was asked at his introductory press conference, would you ever come off the bench? And he laughed at the question, right? So then he causes issues there. They trade him after the season. Then he goes to Houston, can't handle the situation there. And he essentially doesn't play in the NBA until Portland this year is desperate to give Carmelo Anthony that opportunity. But it took Carmelo Anthony
off the bench. And the second question is,
who, me?
Oh. Yeah, there it is right there. So Carmelo Anthony, it took him 2 years to adjust to that. Now, I understand it's not the exact same situation, but Carmelo Anthony was asked to do something totally different than he ever had done in his NBA career. And he was basically having to acknowledge that he wasn't one of the best five players on the team anymore. I'm not saying Cam's at that spot in his career, but he is in a spot where he's going into a totally different situation. Carmelo was going into a situation where it's like, all right, you're not the guy anymore. You're not the star. And you're not even one of the stars. That's the situation in Oklahoma City. He couldn't handle it. Same thing in Houston. He couldn't handle not being one of the guys. So for Cam Newton, the question is going to be this. Can you handle just being another guy in that locker room that's going to be coached super hard, that's going to be called out when you don't do the right things, and you're going to be embarrassed in front of the team? The rest of the guys have gone through it. Can Cam Newton fit into this culture, so to speak? I don't believe that that's an out-of-line question for Kyle Love to bring up, just like Ryan Clark says, well, you can't question what a man can handle and what a man can't handle. Well, when you're accustomed to something for so long, for 9 years, this guy was the face of the franchise. He could do no wrong in Carolina. They loved him. Everything Cam Newton did was right. He was getting everything right. He's winning MVPs. He's going to Super Bowls. They loved him. Well, now you come here, and you got to prove you're better than Jarrett Stidham. Now, I believe he is, and I believe he's going to win the job, etc., but he's coming into a situation where he actually has to win a job. He has to win a job as a starting quarterback of an NFL team. Oh, and after that, you got to make sure you keep the job by playing well, because Jarrett Stidham's, what, 10 years younger than Cam Newton, or a little less than that, 8 years younger than Cam Newton. And when Cam Newton, if he does struggle this year, the team's got to turn it over to Jarrett Stidham, because they have to figure out if they have anything on the player. So he's got to hold off Jarrett Stidham and play at a high level for the majority of the season. So I believe Kyle Love brings up excellent points. When you come from two totally different cultures, sometimes it can be jarring. And when you have to check your ego, like Cam Newton's going to have to check his ego here, he's already checked it somewhat by taking basically a minimum contract, right? That's essentially what he did. He's got like basically no guaranteed money. When you have to do that, you've already at least made some sacrifices, if you will, even if it wasn't technically your choice. But now you have to fit in with the Patriots culture and fit in with the Patriots system. All right, 617-779-7937, the number. One thing I'd be concerned about if I was Tom Brady in Tampa. We'll get to that next right here on WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter.
you've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Right back to it. This is Brian Barrett on EEI.
All right, so Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are already at work. Cam Newton and the Patriots will do the same tomorrow. So here's what Tom Brady had to say about his new team and the playbook. Quote, "It's been different having the opportunity with this time to move and, for example, study my playbook. I mean, I really haven't had to do that in 19 years. You forget, man, this is really tough. Like all the different terminologies, and you're going back a very long time in my career to really put the mental energy in it like I did. I have to work at it pretty hard physically still, and I put a lot of time and energy making sure I'm feeling good in order to perform at my best. But mentally, that has been the thing that obviously has its challenges. And I think you couple that with the coronavirus situation, it became even more difficult," end quote. So that's something that you figure, all right, Tom Brady's going to Tampa. He's pretty much running things, which I pretty much believe he is. Which, by the way, I give him a ton of credit for the LeSean McCoy pickup. That was a good pickup by the Bucs, and in particular, a good pickup for Tom Brady, because Tom's always had that guy that he can rely on out of the backfield to throw the football to. And I understand that LeSean McCoy is a little bit long in the tooth, but you're not asking him to run in between the tackles all the time like he used to. You're asking him to be an outlet valve to Tom Brady in the passing game. I thought that was an outstanding pickup for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm shocked that that guy didn't have a job yet at this particular point in time. So I like that move for Tom Brady, but he pointed out that the terminology, learning the new playbook, is something that he's not accustomed to. And I get that he had those training sessions with his guys in Tampa, but he didn't have the OTAs. He didn't have the normal offseason to be able to pick up the playbook and then go out there and run what he wanted to run with these guys. So that is another hurdle that Brady has to get over there in Tampa Bay, is when you do the same thing. And I get the Patriots offense, it evolved over time, but he basically knew what his calls were going to be. And think about the past decade. He knew what he was doing with Edelman every time he's on the field. He knew what route he wanted Edelman to run. He knew where he wanted to be at a certain amount of time. Same thing like more recently with James White for the past 5 years. He knew exactly where James White was going to be on the football field. Before Gronk retired, he knew exactly where he needed Gronk to be. And I get he gets Gronk back, but Gronk is the third option there in Tampa Bay now with Godwin and with Evans. So even though he has a very talented roster with Godwin and with Evans, and as we mentioned, Gronk, Cameron Brate's a nice player. I believe O.J. Howard's overrated, but you have a ton of really talented players there in Tampa Bay. It takes a while to build up that chemistry and to build up that cohesion, and with Tom Brady not being the master of the offense, right? So when he's with the Patriots, we've seen it before. He's screaming at everybody. He's cursing at everybody. He's yelling everybody out. And I'm not saying that as an indictment on Tom. I appreciated Tom that he had this attention to detail that he'd call everybody out because he knew everything that was supposed to happen on the football field. In Tampa Bay, it's different. So Tom may actually be the one that's wrong about a particular situation when they're running things at training camps. So that's an adjustment I didn't account for with Tom Brady. Now, I believe as the season goes on there in Tampa, the playbook and the offense is going to look more and more like the offense Brady ran here rather than the Bruce Arians offense. It's going to pivot away from what Bruce Arians wants to do, and it's going to pivot more in the direction of Tom Brady. And quite frankly, that makes completely more sense to me. You went out there, if you were Tampa Bay, and you signed a 43-year-old quarterback because you believe that he's the missing piece that can put you over the top. You were a 7-7 football team at the end of last season. You lost the last two games of the season. Jameis Winston, his final pass as a Buccaneer was a pick six. You feel like Tom Brady puts you in a position where now you're a contending team. So if the Bruce Arians system, which I don't believe highlights Brady's skill set, right, where it's about pushing the football down the field, that's what Jameis Winston did. That's what Carson Palmer did, who played for Arians with the Arizona Cardinals. That's what Andrew Luck did in Indianapolis. So if that doesn't highlight Brady's skill set, right, what Brady's best at is death by a million paper cuts. He's going to slice and dice up the defense. I'm not saying that as an indictment on Brady. I'm telling you that he's the best in the history of the NFL slicing and dicing up a defense and taking what the defense gives you. So if that's Brady's strong suit,
why wouldn't you morph your offense more into what Tom Brady does? That's why I believe when we look at week 6 or week 7 of the season, the offense is going to look very similar to the offense Tom Brady ran for the majority of his career here with the Patriots, because that's what is going to be in the best interest of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers if they ultimately want to get to where they want to get to, which is winning a Super Bowl. That's why you signed Tom Brady to win a Super Bowl. Your best chance at winning a Super Bowl with Tom Brady is let him run the offense. I get that Bruce Arians has a big ego, and I get that Bruce Arians has been the coach of the year twice in the NFL, but he's got one playoff win. If Tom Brady says we're doing things one way, I would let Tom Brady do his job there. In fact, I would let Tom Brady run the offense, say, you know what, Bruce, chip in when you get an idea for what we should run. But we're going to do it this way, because you know what, when I've done it this way, half my years in the NFL that I've actually been a starter, so if you look at 18 years he started, because you take out 08, you take out his rookie year, yeah, half those years I end up playing in the Super Bowl. So I believe I got a better idea at how to make a run and get into the Super Bowl than you do. I have a way that it works for me. So in my mind, we're going to see the Brady offense more midway and later on in the season. Arians also said this about Brady, quote, "He's just another guy. He gets cussed out just like everybody else, I'm sure." Now, I know that Tom Brady was obviously, and this is part of his greatness here in New England, he was coachable with the Patriots. But you think Brady is getting cussed out at frequently by Bruce Arians? You think Bruce Arians is out there on the practice field? And I get he's got a big personality and he's loud, etc. You think Bruce Arians is out on the practice field, the training camp, yelling at Tom Brady, cursing at Tom Brady? Tom Brady's probably like, really? Okay, Bruce. Yeah, okay, man. I'll take the advice, but we're trying to get things ready. We're trying to win a Super Bowl, win more than one playoff game, which is all you've ever done in your career. Why don't you let me handle the offense, and Todd Bowles can handle the defense, and you just sit there like you're doing something. Let me do my job. All right, thanks to Dylan for producing. I'll be back with you tomorrow night after the Red Sox and the Blue Jays. Have a great rest of your night, everybody. Be safe and be well.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.